Please join me as you're seated, and we'll recite the prayer of illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the Scripture is read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you have to say to us today. Amen.
Amen. As we begin, I just want to give a public service announcement. I now have an Omnipod insulin pump, and if it beeps at any point, you're not hearing directly from God.
Yes, you are.
It's just that I have a device that you can't really silence, right? It doesn't let you ever silence it. We went to see The Wizard of Oz yesterday in Cleburne, and I was trying to figure out how to silence it, and they want to make sure you're alerted. So there was no way, but luckily it did not go off during the play. However, they did have to stop the play due to technical difficulties. So it happens to everyone. And I made sure to encourage our sound and media people. They were right behind us where we were seated after the show, and told them they recovered well. We did get to finish the play, so don't worry. They got back to Kansas, but it was a good experience. And but I just want to give that disclaimer. If you ever hear a beep, it just means that I now have a computerized healthy pancreas beeping on my body. So let's take a moment and pray together. Loving and gracious God, thank you for this time. Thank you for the way your Spirit is already moving in this service. Help us to trust you, not to rush, but to trust in what you have to say to us today. Help me to step out of the way and allow your Spirit to work through me as a vessel. I pray that those who are here would have their hearts and minds opened to whatever it is that you have to say to each of them. We trust you, God, and we offer this time of listening to you. Come, Holy Spirit, in your name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to read the scripture and then go into some thoughts. This is a very short scripture today. It's just one verse. That doesn't often happen with me because I like words, but this one is like to the point, right? Short and sweet. And it is Luke chapter 23, verse 34. And it's simply this. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." They drew lots as a way of dividing up his clothing. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. So we have been uncluttering or decluttering or simplifying or throwing out the trash, whatever you want to call it, right? We're in our third week, yes, because we have one more week to go before we get to Easter Sunday. And I don't know about you, but it's been an interesting series where I feel like it's gone some of the way I expected to, but then I've been surprised in other ways, which often happens with God when we set the agenda and God takes over, right? So how are you guys doing with overall decluttering or uncluttering? I'm seeing some people say they're doing better. Okay. And some of you maybe are like me where you're like, I don't know. What? Mandy did a wonderful job of helping and uncluttering Faye and John as they moved. How are y'all doing with the physical clutter? Or you feel like you're doing good with the physical clutter, raise your hand.
Right.
Trying to. You had a garage sale. Yeah. What if you're like me and you're like, I'm not doing so good. I've made progress, but I have a ways to go. Yeah. I'm proud of that. Raise your hand. Okay. How about emotional clutter? It's easier to get rid of stuff than it is to deal with stuff. Okay. What about spiritual clutter? It's all connected, though, and that's what we're discovering in this series. We think it's just about one area, but it's all connected to our soul, that part of ourselves that is the only part that's going to last forever. Our souls will go be with God one day. And that's the part that is sometimes the hardest to deal with. Because when we unclutter and we deal with our stuff, and we try to go look for example, a physical item, at some point we may find something that causes emotional and spiritual clutter. So for example, in your decluttering or uncluttering process, how many of you have some items that you do first because it's easiest, right? You're like, oh, I don't ever wear these toss. I don't have to deal with these. So I'm going to just ship them down to Crowley House of Hope and move on, right? If you're like me, you may have layers where, you know, you start with the items that are the easiest to get rid of. And then as you get closer and closer through the process, you may come upon items that you knew were there, but you didn't want to acknowledge them or deal with them. In my case, I haven't found two items yet, but I know they're there. I know where they are. I just really have been avoiding them. So I have two different items. One is a manila envelope. Back in the day before we had the internet the way we do, I witnessed a tragedy and it really affected me deeply. I had to go to a lot of therapy to recover from it. And at the time, we had news clippings, right, with the event. So I cut them all out and I stuck them in a manila envelope and I wrote the name on it, put it in my stuff. It's there. I don't want to look at it because I did one time and I felt like I was right back on August 5th. So no, it's there. I know it's there. When I find it, it's going to affect me when I open it. So it's away for now. The other thing that I know is there is we have a box and on it is the name of a baby that never made it to Earth, but is still very loved in our family. And there's a sonogram and some other items. And I know where that one is too, but we're not going to open that today. My point is I have these physical items that I don't want to deal with, but they're there. And eventually I'm going to look in at some point when I'm ready and I'm going to address it. Because we have to do that in order to be able to move forward, to forgive, to let go of what hurts us. And sometimes the forgiveness is a person, but sometimes it's forgiving ourselves. Sometimes it's forgiving God for something that happened that wasn't ever fair. So forgiveness is something that we all wrestle with, but I think it's a very important part of the uncluttering process. So with that being said, how many of you are fans of the musical Hamilton? I see some hands. How many of you are going, what?
You said,
saying, huh? The musical Hamilton? Like, there is one? There is a musical. It is called Hamilton. It is a modern retelling of the American founding father, Alexander Hamilton. I've only seen it once. I've heard the soundtrack quite often because Brad is a big fan of it. But there's one song that when I watched the musical and when I listened to the soundtrack, there's one song that to me has always resonated the most. And it's called It's Quiet Uptown. Now, the reason that I say I'm not a huge Hamilton fan like some people is some people have the lyrics tattooed on their arm, right? They sing it in the shower like it's part of their DNA. In my case, I like that song, but my favorite version is actually not from the musical. It's by Kelly Clarkson. Kelly Clarkson sings It's Quiet Uptown, and that's my favorite one. But the words itself are really, really powerful. And the song in the musical, the context, finds Alexander and Eliza Hamilton, and they are working through the grief of the death of their oldest child, Philip. So their oldest child, Philip, has died, and Alexander and Eliza Hamilton are grieving in this song. And Philip, the son, was killed in a duel after defending his father against someone who had criticized his dad in a speech. Prior to his death, Eliza had discovered that Alexander had not been unfaithful, And so she was already upset about the unfaithfulness. And then her child dies defending his father in a duel with someone who had criticized his dad. As you can imagine, there's a lot of hurt and complex, deep layers of anger, grief, depression, hopelessness, betrayal, guilt, brokenness, et cetera, right? There's a lot in this family situation, and it doesn't happen overnight. The song is basically the grief process. You see all the stages worked through the entire song. And then finally at the end, she takes his hand and forgives him. And the line that always gets to me is, "Forgiveness, can you imagine?" And the reason it gets to me is because we all know that there are times when we feel we're never going to get to that place of forgiveness. There are times when it just seems impossible. We can't imagine being in that place of forgiveness. But what I'm here today to tell you is that it is possible. You can get there. It just may not be exactly at an immediate, quick-paced time. It's a process, right? One bit after another, one step at a time, it is possible. There's so much on our faith that's a process, right? We have to wait on things. We have to wait on a savior. We have to wait on news. We have to wait on the resurrection. It looks on Good Friday like everything's over and the end has come. Easter does come. It just doesn't always come immediately. And as humans, we have to go through a lot of stuff to get there. And, you know, forgiveness is a process, too. It doesn't always just happen once. Sometimes it happens over and over. And it's a choice that you make every single day. Sometimes we backslide, and that's okay. When we backslide, we move forward again because God understands and offers us grace. We may not always know what we're even doing in the process, but God does. And so God reaches down and helps us forward when we go two steps back. It's a process. It's a process of grace, and it is possible to forgive what is unimaginable. Jesus said in Luke 23:34, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Now, I read that verse by itself, but to give you the full context, Jesus is literally hanging on the cross, saying these words. Even as people around him are mocking him, he is thinking of them and thinking of us, the people to come, and he is asking for mercy from God. "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." They are humans of free will, and they're going to mess up. Forgive them. That's powerful, my friends. Jesus was thinking of you and me. He's literally hanging on the cross in the midst of being mocked. We have to forgive, though, because when we do, I think it's one of the most important parts of the uncluttering process, because forgiveness is necessary and it leads to healing. When we release and let go of our grudges and our burdens that weigh us down and the clutter that we can't get rid of, it makes space for God to do something new. When we release, when we forgive, when we surrender, when we let go of that clutter, of that burden, of that weight, it makes space for God to do something new. Now, Eliza Hamilton does forgive Alexander, and she finds peace in her work afterwards. She works with veterans. She raises funds for the Washington Monument. She speaks out against slavery, and she establishes the first private orphanage in New York City. So through her forgiveness, okay, she makes space for God to do something new through her, and she finds peace. I'm going to take you back to the story that we have been looking at today with Jesus on the cross saying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And I'm going to read a little before and a little after so you can get a fuller picture of what's happening here. starting at Luke 23, verse 32. They also led two other criminals to be executed with Jesus. When they arrived at the place called the Skull, they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on the right and the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." They drew lots as a way of dividing up his clothing. The people were standing around watching. But the leaders sneered at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is really the Christ sent from God, the chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him. They came up to him, offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are really the King of the Jews, save yourself." Above his head was a notice of the formal charge against him. It read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals hanging next to Jesus insulted him, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself." Responding, the other criminal spoke harshly to him, "Don't you fear God, seeing that you have also been sentenced to die? We are rightly condemned, for we are receiving the appropriate sentence for what we did. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "I assure you that today you will be with me in paradise." When we forgive, when we receive forgiveness that we don't deserve, it makes space for God to do something new in our lives. This thief on the cross was very much unworthy, but he recognized Jesus in those moments that others mocked him. And as a result, he received pardon, assurance, mercy, grace. He was restored into a relationship with God, and not just for a moment, for all of eternity. That is the power of forgiveness. Sometimes it's instant, sometimes it takes a while, but either way, forgiveness heals and Jesus heals. So I invite you to take a moment and write on your paper whatever you need to write. You could write several things on a piece of paper. And then Denise is going to play, right, some music. When you are ready, you may come forward and put your paper in the bowl, and we will watch it go away. If you need us to bring the bowl to you, raise your hand, and we can certainly do that. And maybe you don't want to come forward. I encourage you to take it home and run it under some water in the privacy of your home. But take this moment, let it go, and start new. Because Christ is counting on you, and Christ is waiting for you. The invitation to grace is already there. It's been there all along. Will you receive it today? And will you give grace to others? May it be so. Amen.